Yes. There we go. The great gift that we get as Trinitarian Christians is the understanding that God lives in community. The Trinity is three persons, not just one person playing three roles. It's as difficult for us to understand as it is for a one-celled amoeba to understand the cellular complexity of a human being. But when we stop trying to understand how these three people form one God, we can relax and enjoy the community that is the Godhead. And we realize that if we were formed in the image of God, we were created for community with one another and with the divine. Yes, we are created to live in relationship with God, but we're also created to live in relationship with one another. And if we are formed in the image of God, we are made to laugh and to create out of our fullness as well as out of our loneliness. And perhaps this is what Jesus is talking about with Nicodemus, the man of privilege. He is a religious leader with political power. Presumably, he has what we might today consider white privilege. The Romans allowed the Jewish people the privilege of continuing with their own religion and way of life, provided they kept their people in line and under control. We know that Nicodemus was powerful within that system because he spoke in the Sanhedrin, and he was wealthy enough to provide 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes for Jesus' burial. But Jesus is apparently rather unimpressed with this man. All Nicodemus' learning, all his privilege, is not actually doing him much good. What is needed, Jesus says, is a new birth, renewal of the mind and spirit. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so Jesus says he must be lifted up so that the whole world will have eternal life. Now let's look at the backstory here. What were the Hebrews doing in the desert with a bronze serpent on a pole? They had gotten tired of eating manna. The bread from heaven was no longer satisfying them. They wanted more, they wanted different, they wanted a better menu, and they grumbled. They felt that God's provision was not enough. And as the story goes, God punished the people by sending serpents among them, whose bite was venomous. And they cry out to Moses, confessing their sin and begging Moses to implore God to take these serpents away. And God told Moses to make a bronze serpent and put it on a pole for them to look at. And when they looked at it, they were healed. The bronze serpent was a symbol of their dissatisfaction with God, their complaining and thinking they knew better than God did. But notice that it was after they confessed their sin that the bronze serpent was any use. This was not some magical statue with supernatural powers. No, the bronze serpent was a symbol of the way they had imagined themselves somehow superior to the situation they were in. They had confessed their sin, but it was only when they looked at the serpent and faced up to their sin that they were healed. Jesus on the cross makes humanity face up to our tendency to vilify people, our tendency to gang up against the weakest and the different. Theologian Kelly Brown Douglas argues that in the time of Jesus, there was a particular section of society which was most likely to get crucified. She calls them the crucified class. They were the ones who were picked on, the ones who were likely to be accused of sedition, the ones who were most likely to be hung on a tree as an example. And this would not be Nicodemus. No, Nicodemus was really in the upper class of first century Jews. But Jesus identified with the crucified class. He became one of them. He allowed himself to be counted with the underclass. And in the manner of his death, he made humanity face what it was doing, face the way that we blame the innocent and we create societies in which some people flourish and others don't. Now let's head back to the main plot, the community of the Trinity, since, of course, today is Trinity Sunday. The Trinity is not a triangle with God the Creator at the top and the Word and the Spirit at the bottom, because that creates a hierarchy. The Trinity is a community, not a hierarchy. It has been described as a dance, a circle dance where all the dancers are looking at each other equally. There is no social hierarchy in the Trinity. And that's how we're called to live, without social hierarchy. Dancing together on one planet with no privileged class, no crucified class, just people loving God, loving each other, loving and creating. We, my friends, are people of privilege. And for us to create the beloved community of humans living in harmony with one another, creation and God, the community that's envisioned in the great commandments of loving God and one's neighbor as oneself, for us to create that community of equality, we have to face up to the ways in which we are privileged. We have to look at our own sin, symbolized in the bronze serpent or in the broken body of Christ on the cross, and ask to be born again. Because we are not going to think ourselves into right relationship. We're not going to laugh with the Trinity as a result of our privilege. But because we are born again, made anew by the grace of God and the blowing of the wind of the Spirit. May God grant us all the humility to confess our sin, the grace to be reborn, and the laughter of the Trinity. Amen.